And as we are studying the Word of God here, this is WGOD Radio, where we take 15 minutes a day to go through usually the New Testament, and that's where we're at today. We've been hearing a combination of things here on WGOD. You're hearing many of the Sunday sermons I've been preaching at Island, mostly because I'm too lazy to get behind a microphone and record something new. No, that's not true. But I'm preaching them at church, and it's a little easier for me to use those sermons that I preach at church and play them here on the radio. This program's heard every Monday through Friday, 7 a.m., 11:45 a.m. on our sister station, WWBC. That's 1510 a.m. and at 8:45 at night. So Sunday morning at 10:30, we'd love to see you. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. So if you're looking for a church home, if you don't have a church, we would welcome you to come by and visit, hear the Word of God there at Island, and worship with us. Now, here in the meantime, in between programs in Romans, I've decided it's high time once again to get into some Bible prophecy on this program. I have a keen interest in it, and that scares me in its own right, because I just have the feeling that we're just going to need this knowledge here sometime in the future. We need it anyway. Why not? I mean, why would you not need tomorrow's newspaper today? That's what I call Bible prophecy. It's tomorrow's newspaper. It's like going to the track with tomorrow's newspaper. You've got the winner of every race. Matter of fact, you've got win, place, and show for every race. This is what we're looking at here now. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 24 today, and during the coming days and weeks and months, we will be in Bible prophecy here. You never know where we're going to end up. Here today, we're in Matthew chapter 24. We're looking at the Lord Jesus' signs that you will know that his return is near, and he used the temple for an example. When the disciples came up to him, they said, "Look at that temple. Look how beautiful it is." And he said to them, he said, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you that by no means will one stone be left upon another stone, which will not be thrown down." And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? That is, when will one stone not be left upon another? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Three questions. When will one stone not be left upon another? That's been fulfilled already. 70 AD is when Rome, after the Jews spoke prior to the crucifixion of Christ, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." They had that granted to them. And the temple was destroyed and Jerusalem was overthrown on the 9th of Av, the same day it was overthrown when Nebuchadnezzar did it, some 586 BC, some 655 years earlier on the same day. And what'll be this? When will one stone not be left upon another? What'll be the sign of your coming? And what'll be the sign of the end of the age? Now, the Lord Jesus is going to go through a list so that you will recognize. Don't you wonder sometimes when you look around here, you see all the evil and all the Christians dying. We just heard about this church again, another attack on a bunch of Christians. Sometimes it's Muslims. Mostly it's Muslims. Sometimes it's atheists and unbelievers. It's demon-filled people. You see, because the Lord's return is near, and it's like he's turned the heat up, and we're seeing these attacks, but this is one of the signs. We'll probably get to that next week when we get to verse 9. Here today again, what'll be the sign of your coming? What'll be the sign of the end of the age? Now, Jesus answered, Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceive you." The word blepete, take heed, means be careful. It means be on your absolute guard. Watch out. See that no one deceives you. You see, the telltale sign and the greatest warning that realizing that you are in the very end of the age is the lying signs and wonders that are going to happen. When we hear about the Antichrist, that lying signs and wonders will be around. Revelation chapter 13 says this. It says, speaking of the false prophet, it says he works great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth before men. And he deceives my own people that dwell on the earth, John speaking, by the signs which were given to him to do, saying to those that dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and came to life. The number one warning from the Lord Jesus Christ to all of you and I today is to beware, take heed, be careful, make sure that no one deceives you. You know, when we see this man too, also we read in chapter 13 of Revelation that this false prophet, it says that he's got the power to give life to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image to be killed. Now, that's the King James. It says he has the power to give life. The Greek word pneuma, it means spirit or breath. And pick your poison, friend. Which one do you want? This is why Jesus warns you, see that you're not deceived, because the time is coming. How many of you out here today on this Friday, how many of you honestly knew, prior to me just saying this, how many of you knew that at the end of the age, Satan was going to have the power to give life? How many of you knew that? Revelation chapter 13, he had the power to give life to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast, that's this abomination of desolation, this image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image to be killed. Now, I don't know if it's the hands quicker than the eye or if it's just deception or if it's trickery. I don't know, but this I know, my Bible tells me that this false prophet is going to have the power, the Greek word exousia, it means the authority also. He's got the authority, if you want to use that word instead, he's got the authority to give life. All right, now you want to say, maybe let's use breath. Some translations say breath. All right, I'll give you that. He's got the authority to give breath to the image of the beast. So what image do you get on that? I get one of God kneeling over Adam, pinching his nose, and breathing into him the breath of life. Satan is going to have the same power at the end of the age. He's got the power to give life to the image of the beast. This is why Jesus warns you today, friend. See that no one deceives you. Because there's going to be things going on at the end of the age that are going to defy logic that you and I have not seen. We're so far removed from the days of Moses and Janus and Jambers matching miracle for miracle. We're so far removed from the parting of the Red Sea, the waters being turned to blood, sticks thrown to the ground and turned into serpents. We're so far removed from that. That the Lord Jesus says, when these things happen, he says, see that you're not deceived. He had the power to give life to the image of the beast. The Lord Jesus, the number one warning from him. How are we going to know? What'll be the sign of your coming? What'll be the sign of the end of the age? He said, take heed that no one deceives you. Verse 5. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, or ego eimi ho Christos. I am the Messiah. Not so much Jesus Christ. The world could care less if someone came back and said he was Jesus Christ. They hate him now. Who's going to say they're not going to hate him then? Oh, yeah. And if you want to know how they're going to feel about him in the future, then you also can go to the book of Revelation chapter 11. When there's going to be two witnesses here on earth preaching Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that at the death of these two guys, the whole world sends gifts to one another and make merry. This is the satanic Christmas time. 800 years before anyone ever heard of Christmas, the Bible says at the end of the age that at the death of two guys preaching Jesus Christ, the world is going to make merry and send gifts to each other. In case you're wondering and think the world is going to turn into a kind place where everyone's going to love Jesus Christ. So no one's going to come back saying he is Jesus. No, someone might say that they're the Messiah. That's what the word Christos means. Someone might say that they are the Savior. Remember, anti-Christ, anti doesn't mean against, like Godzilla against Mothra or Frankenstein versus the Wolfman. No, the word anti means instead of. It means in place of. And the word anti means alternative to. Antichrist is an alternative to Christ, where anything goes, including your sins. What'll be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? Take heed that no one deceives you, because many are going to come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah. And they will deceive many. We'll leave it off right here for today, friends. Remember, he's coming a second time, apart from sin, unto all those that look for him. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3. Is it true?
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This live teaching series on the unchanging love of God is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Matter of fact, it says in Philippians chapter 2 that being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's a little awkward in the King James, but what it's just saying is that he knew he was equal to God. He was God. He didn't think it was wrong or inappropriate. He was God, and yet he humbled himself and became a man and took upon himself flesh. God Almighty became a human being. That is unfathomable, however you say that. That's incomprehensible. The Scripture says that he holds the universe in the palm of his hand, that he can span the heavens with his hands. That means that the entire universe from one end to the other is no bigger than the width of his hand. That's big. And yet, Almighty God, who is so big, entered into a physical body and limited himself to a physical body. You know, I'm not trying to diminish the cross and what Jesus suffered at all. That was huge. But it wasn't only on the cross that Jesus suffered. For God Almighty, who is infinite and the heaven